I said, I've got some good news as well, and I think this is really good news. We've been waiting for this for a really long time. So we signed the contract this past week for the construction of our new building, all right? So thank you, Lord. So that's going to be happening pretty soon. In April, they start in April. You'll start seeing cranes and stuff go up. And so we're really excited about that. It's also a reminder to keep giving, all right? Remember the building fund. We're still short on that fund quite a bit, all right? Quite a few million rand. And so please keep giving to that. And thank you for those of you who've already been giving, quite a number of you. And really, I want to thank you for that and honor you for that. And all you got to do, just come before the Lord and just say, God, what do you want me to give? That's all. I can't tell you. And don't try and make up your own mind. Just come before the Lord. Just ask Him. It's as simple as that. Lord, what do you want me to give? Because let me just say to you, when you and I give, and I'm giving to that, by the way, when you and I give, we're sowing into God's kingdom. There's no more fertile soil than to sow into the kingdom. And we're sitting today in a building that others have given in the late 99, 98, when they built this building. We're enjoying the fruits of their giving and their sowing. And so this new building, we're sowing not just into our future, but the future of those will go behind us, our children and possibly grandchildren, if we're still around this world. Amen? All right. You ready for God's word? All right. I want to show you quickly this morning from Scripture how culture is busy changing. All right? And that shouldn't surprise us, because we see things today, people doing things and things that are acceptable in culture that was never acceptable just a couple of years ago. And so culture is busy changing all the time, but the good news today is that God's word doesn't change, all right? So the question we ask ourselves is, how do we live in a culture that's so different to what you and I believe? How do we reconcile those two? Now, how do we live in this world without becoming more like the world? And so it's just some of the questions we quickly want to try and answer this morning. And so what we're going to do is we're going to turn to Scripture. There's a portion of Scripture where Paul addresses a young pastor called Titus. And it's a very short little letter. It's three chapters in our Bible. And he tells Titus how to select church leaders. And there's a lesson in there for us. And so listen to what he says to him. He says, a church leader is a manager of God's household, so he must live a blameless life. Notice he doesn't say faultless life. Blameless is when there's stuff in your life that you're aware of that's not right, and you're dealing with it or prepared to deal with it, then you're blameless. All right. And so he says he must not be arrogant or quick-tempered, and he must not be a heavy drinker or violent or dishonest with money. Rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home, that's being hospitable, and he must love what is good. He must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life. And then he gets to verse 9, and he gives Titus one of the most important qualities that a leader's got to have. Listen to what he says. He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. What does that mean? He must have a strong belief in the Scriptures. That's what it's saying, all right? Another translation, the King James says, it says, holding fast to the faithful word. So in other words, he is not swayed by culture. He is not influenced by everybody around him, because he's holding fast to the standards and the principles here in God's word. And let me tell you, that applies to you and me today, because culture will try and influence us to live according to the world's standards and morals and values. And so we're constantly being drawn to that. And that's why Paul says, you better hold fast. hold fast to this because there's a world culture busy drawing you one way, and this sets the standard. This is our standard. This is the ultimate authority. This becomes like the anchor in our lives. When culture goes this way, well, what does Scripture say? When culture goes that way, well, what does Scripture say? This, we base our lives at the end of the day on Scripture. And so I want to say it again. Culture is constantly shifting. But God's Word, thank goodness, God's Word never shifts. It's always the same. Now, there's a reason this year is called the Holy Bible. Because it's like, there's no other book like it. Because this was given to us by a holy God. And He expects us to live holy lives. Scripture says, be holy just as I am holy. So God wants us to live holy lives. You say, Leonard, is that even possible? It is. Because holiness simply means to be separate or to be set apart. So in other words, what it's saying is, you're different. God wants us to be different to the world that we live in. And He's expecting us to live differently, to talk differently, to think differently, to treat people differently to how the world treats them. So just because everybody else is using bad language doesn't mean you and I have to. We operate differently. Just because other people are dishonest in business doesn't mean we've got to do the same. We operate differently. Just because some of your colleagues at the office are messing around with one another, even though they're married or one of them is married and they're having affairs and stuff like that, and it's almost like everybody is doing it. We live differently. And God has called us to live by a higher standard. That's why we have the saying, we are in the world, but not of the world. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. We live different. Listen to what the Bible says in John 15. Jesus says, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. He says, you're no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world. Now, please understand this. Jesus is not saying, I want you to come out of the world and to go and live in some remote little village on the mountains somewhere, you know, some little compound like some of these sects where they come out of the world completely. No. He's saying you're in the world. And I want you to make the most of this world. And I want you to enjoy the beauty and the splendor and everything that it has to offer. But I don't want you to get sucked into it, into its values, into the world system. I don't want you to be squeezed into the world's mold. The world operates a certain way. He says, I don't want you to be squeezed into the world's way. In 1 John 17, Jesus prays for His disciples. And this is His prayer. It's recorded for us. He says, my prayer is not for the world. In other words, the unsaved. He says, but for those you, God, have given me because they belong to you. So what He's saying here, He says, I'm praying for Christians. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. And now He says this. Now listen to this. He says, I am not asking you. This is His prayer. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. You notice that? God, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. I'm asking that you protect them from the devil. That's what He's saying. Why does He ask that? Because you and I have an enemy called the devil, called Satan, who wants to destroy us, wants to, if he could, kill you, completely destroy your family. If he could, he would do that, but he can't, because he'd be in massive trouble with God. And so he does what's second best, and he tries to get you and me to destroy ourselves. Well, you say, how does he do that? By getting us to follow culture, the world's system. Guess who has set up the world system? The devil himself. Because the Bible says he's, in John chapter 12, he's the ruler of this world. So the things that are busy happening has been set up by the devil himself. And it kind of looks not too bad, just a little bit bad, but not too bad. And if we're not careful, we end up following that and going along with what everybody else is doing instead of following God's ways. So let me give you a couple of examples quickly of where culture is going and where God wants us to go, all right? And so the first commandment that God gives us here in Exodus chapter 20, you shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. What is he saying? He's saying, I need to be priority in your life. That's all he's saying. He says, I need to be the most important in your life. And yet, we live in a culture where our jobs are more important. Our kids are more important. Our sport is more important. Because if I have sport and some event on a Sunday, I'm going to do it. It's more important than God. And my budget, my finances, more important than tithing. Because if I have something left over, then I'll tithe. Where if God is priority, he's first on our list. Can you see how we as Christians even can start thinking like this? So in other words, we're influenced by a world culture rather than God's culture. God says, if you're going to follow me, I want to be priority. I want to be first place in your life. Our culture says sex before marriage is okay. It's fine. What's the problem? It's free. It's fun. Yet God condemns it. And so as Christians, we've got this thing where, well, is it that bad? And so what happens very often as Christians, we get involved in that. What are we doing? We're following a world culture rather than God's culture. Let me give you another example quickly. Our culture is becoming so much more aggressive and argumentative. You say, why? How? Well, people are more likely today to voice their disapproval online than ever before. I mean, think about it. You know, if somebody doesn't like something, doesn't agree with something, doesn't see it the way you see it, you know, they'll voice their opinion. And if you happen to post something or respond to that opposite to what they have just said, very often they become quite aggressive and argumentative, and they'll take offense. And so that's happening all the time. And if you and I are not careful, guess what happens? We do exactly the same. And I see Christians sucked into that, and Christians posting and being mean and doing stuff like that. And what does Scripture teach us? In Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Hebrews chapter 12, give it to us quickly. Make every effort to live at peace with all men. You can include women if you want to. All right. Having women aren't difficult. It's normally the men who fight, eh? So make every effort to live at peace with the men. And be holy. Notice that. Be holy. So in other words, what God's saying, he says, hey, I don't want you to become argumentative. I don't want you to be posting all this fighting and stuff. All that. Just let it go. Live at peace. He says, be holy. He says, I want you to be different to everybody else. Can you see how our culture is shifting and how easily it is for you and me to move in that direction? And if we're not careful, we'll start drifting toward culture and moving toward that, because culture is changing. And it's not changing. It's not shifting God's way. It's shifting the enemy's way, let me just tell you. But it shouldn't surprise us. Let me just tell you. It shouldn't surprise us, because the Bible actually warns us that it's going to happen. And so I want to read to you quickly. Listen to this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there'll be very difficult times, For people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful, and they will consider nothing sacred. All right? Interesting. They'll be unloving and unforgiving, and they will slander others and have no self-control. So in other words, do whatever they want to do. They'll be cruel and hate what is good, and they'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride. In other words, I'm better. Look at me. Look at what I've achieved. And love pleasure rather than God. Now listen to this. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them holy. They will act religious. In other words, they'll even sit in church, but they don't want to change. They'll reject the power that'll make them holy, that'll change them. And so this is unfortunately, this is the world that we're living in. And as I say, it shouldn't surprise us because Scripture warns us. But Scripture also gives us some keys how to handle it when we're in a changing world. One of the examples we're going to look at is just the life of Daniel quickly. Because Daniel found himself in a culture that was so different to his culture. And so he finds himself in exile in Babylon, in a completely godless culture. Remember the story how King Nebuchadnezzar comes in and invades and conquers Judah and takes the top layer of society, takes all the learned people and the noble people, takes all of them back home. He deports them, takes them into Babylon to strengthen his country, to weaken Judah. And so listen to what happens here. And we pick up this story in Daniel chapter 1, and I want to read it to you. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. And so Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylon and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of staff. What a name, Ashpenaz. All right, I can just picture, this is no ordinary guy. All right, this guy's got some swank and there's some swagger. Ashpenaz, all right, remember that name. He's the chief of staff, and so he orders him to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. And the king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. And they were to be trained for 3 years. And then they would enter the royal service. They would serve this foreign king. Quite amazing. So they go through a three-year training program to prepare them and really just to speed them up in Babylonian culture. Now listen to this. Here's Daniel and his three friends. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. And the chief of staff, what was his name? Ashpenaz. You need to say it with attitude. Ashpenaz. Ashpenaz. He renamed them with Babylonian names. So this cool dude looks at them and says, I don't like your names. I'm going to change your names. And so he says, Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. And Azariah was called Abednego. Now imagine this Ashpenaz. He says, what's your name? Leonard. Nah, we're going to change it. From today on, you'll be Leonardo. Or even worse, he comes and says, nah, I'm going to call you Leonora or something. Huh? Crazy. Here's what I want you to see. Culture will change you. Culture will try and change you. Change the way you talk. Change the way you interact with other people. It'll even change what you believe about yourself. Because a culture will say to you, you're not attractive. You know, look at these models. Look at these celebrities, you know, on social media and movies and stuff. You're not attractive. You know, you're not successful. You're not posting your every purchase every second week. You're not successful like them. And popular, you're not popular. You don't have the likes and the following and all of that. You know, you don't have much to offer. You're not good enough. And if we're not careful, let me tell you, we'll believe stuff that culture is trying to tell us that's not true. And so we've got to make up our minds, especially with this thing of what we believe about ourselves. Do we believe culture? Or do we believe God's word? Because what you believe about yourself ultimately affects how you're going to interact with people, ultimately affects your level of confidence, and how far you're going to go. And so if you don't have the right belief system on the inside, it's going to affect your confidence. You'll never go as far as what God has for you. Be careful of what culture is trying to tell you. Let's have a look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, but Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given them by the king. And so he asked the chief of staff, what is his name? Ashpenaz, for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. So notice this. He goes and asks permission. He doesn't just do his own thing. You see, some people have the attitude, it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. Yeah, I agree. It probably is easier, isn't it? But it'll bite you. It'll bite you. Because your boss or your parents or who, or your spouse even, they will look at it. And you and I get branded. We get known as a chancer. That guy, watch him. He's a chancer. I like to call it a MacGyver. Always got some MacGyver move, all right? And so it's better, it's the honorable, it's the right thing. Go and ask permission. Because you see, the way I see it, if you've asked permission and then it backfires, no problem. I've got permission to do this. It didn't work out. Now you and the boss are both going to face it. But if you do it on your own and it backfires, now it's your problem. So some great lessons in here. And so Daniel does that. He goes to Ashpenaz, and he goes and asks permission, and he says, hey, Ash, my man, he says, you know, these pizzas and burgers that we're busy eating, he says, man, I'm getting a bit dick here. Please, man, help me out here. He says, how about we just have some veg? This is where the vegetarians think this is scriptural to have veg, by the way. And so this is what he comes in and he asks for this. But I want you to see, and obviously, if you go and have a look at Scripture, you'll see how Ashpenaz was hesitant. He says, because, man, I've got strict instructions from the king, but I'm going to give you a week. Let's give it a shot. What I want you to see this morning is verse 8, where Daniel says, the Bible says, but Daniel was determined. Another translation says, Daniel made up his mind. He made up his mind. You see, according to Judean culture that he had come from, they weren't allowed to eat food offered to idols. But now he finds them in a completely different culture where everybody is doing this. And let's be honest, it would be very easy or easier just to go along and do what everybody else is doing. But he didn't. He made up his mind. I couldn't care who's doing it. I'm not doing this. And you and I have found ourselves in a culture where everybody is doing certain things. And we've got to weigh it according to Scripture. Because the Bible warns us. The Bible says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. Romans chapter 12. Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. But let God remold your minds from within. Another translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't copy it. And so if you and I want to live a godly life, we're going to have to make up our minds. Just like Daniel. I couldn't care who's doing what. But I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to live differently. I want to honor God's word rather than give in to what everybody else is doing. And let me just say to you this morning, if you don't make up your mind, somebody else will make it up for you. And it will generally be culture. And it will generally not be in line with God's word. Because culture generally doesn't line up with God's word. And so just keep that in mind. You say, well, how do I know what's right and what's wrong? How do I know how to make up my mind? You've got to go back to Scripture. Because Scripture, at the end of the day, is our standard. Because everybody has an opinion. You can't listen to everybody. Because there's so many different opinions. What do you do? Who do you choose? And I'm not asking you to pick sides. I'm asking you to follow Scripture. Don't pick sides. Just follow Scripture. Just have a look at what does the Word of God say and go back to that. You've got to do that because culture is shifting further and further away. But the Word of God never shifts, never changes. Because the Bible says, Malachi chapter 3, though heaven and earth may pass away, my Word will never pass away. All right? So it never changes. And let me just throw this in. God's Word, by the way, is not against you. It's for you. God didn't say, okay, let's try and make this as hard as we can, as difficult as we can. No. He said, life is pretty tough. And it's going to be a little bit confusing at times for them. And so let's help them. Let's give them an instruction manual and show them how life works. That when they apply this in their marriage and apply this raising their children and apply this in their values and standards, it will. Let's give them a fighting chance. This is why God has given us His Word. Now, let me illustrate it like this. Let's say you have two rugby teams and they're playing a very important match, Curry Cup or something like that. What do they need apart from the ball in the field? They need a ref. And not just any ref. They need an impartial ref. They cannot have somebody who's connected or committed to one or the other team. They've got to be impartial. And they need a ref who's more committed to a higher order or a higher authority. And that's called the president of the South African Rugby Union. And so the president expects that ref to operate by a certain standard, not how he feels on the day. There's got to be a standard. And the standard is set out in the International Rugby Law Book. And so that law book gives him the boundaries that he's got to operate by. It doesn't matter whether the crowd is booing or cheering. He's got to stick to the law book. Now, let me say to you quickly. One of the challenges that you and I face is the popularity challenge, isn't it? Because we would prefer for people to cheer. We don't want booing. And so whether it's in the office or your family or, you know, we want the acceptance. And the problem is so often we want the approval of people more than the approval of God. That's a mistake we make. We can't go down that road. Can you imagine if that ref wants the approval of people? If he wants the approval of the home crowd busy watching this game? And he wants them on his side. If he starts playing to them, he's going to make bad calls, he's going to be in trouble. But as long as he sticks to the book, he's got the backing and the blessing of the president. He dare not go rogue and start doing his own thing and listening to the crowd and I'm going to do this. He can't do that. It'll totally, you know, create chaos. And so you and I are the same. We've got to stick to the book, capital letters, God's word. We've got to do that. When we do, we've got the protection and the backing of Almighty God. And so as Christians, we've got to decide, do I want the approval of the crowds? Do I want God's approval? Do I want family and friends and everybody to cheer me on? That's nice. But there are times where it's not going to happen. It's more important that God cheers me on. So let me just say to you, this whole idea of the Bible confronting culture is not a new thing, by the way. It's been like that since the Bible was written. It's been like that since Jesus' time, where the Bible has been pushing back on culture. Think about the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached by Jesus, recorded for us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And so in that sermon, you'll find that Jesus challenges many of the practices of their time. He comes in and he pushes back on some of those things. And let me just say to you, the Bible, although it confronts culture, it is not anti-culture. All right? Some people think, oh, the Bible's just anti-everything. No. The Bible is anti what is godless. There's a lot of stuff in our culture that's good and can be applauded, and it's like, go for it. That's nothing wrong with that. But the moment our culture starts going away from Scripture, that's where the Bible calls us back. And the Bible brings correction or even rebuke, where you realize, man, I've been doing the wrong thing. I've had a wrong attitude, or I've been aggressive, you know, on social media and stuff like that. Let me read it to you quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness. So in other words, it teaches us how to live. And so there are times where you and I read the Bible and we feel rebuked, because it's like, ah, okay, Lord, I didn't handle that situation right. There are other times where we did something and we feel there's correction. Okay, Lord, I'm going to... And he's not doing that because he's just being mean. He's doing it because he loves us. And he's saying, hey, you know, you veered off a bit, and that path leads to destruction. Come, get back onto this path, because there's blessing. So let me wrap it up for us. And I want to say it again. Culture is shifting, and it's not going to stop. It keeps shifting further and further and further away from God's standard. But the good news is there's a standard. We can always come back to God's word. And if we will follow God's word and make up our mind like Daniel, because there comes a point in our lives where it's almost like a fork in the road. You've got to make up your mind. But if you'll do that, blessing follows one way, destruction follows another way. Let me give you four scriptures quickly, and then we're done. Have a look at this. Psalm 34. Honor the Lord, all his people. Those who obey him have all they need. When you walk in obedience to God's word, he says you'll have provision. Proverbs 28. Always obey the Lord and you will be happy. Proverbs 19 says, keep God's laws and you will live longer. Let's look at the last one quickly. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no revelation of what? Of the word. Where they don't understand the word, they cast off restraint. Restraint is when they when somebody is held back. There's restraint. Somebody either holds me back or I'm holding myself back. You could even restrain your tongue. Wait, I'm not going to say it. So when you and I don't know what Scripture says, we live any which way we want to. There's no restraint. I say what I want to and I do what I want to because there's no restraint. But when we follow God's Word, happy is he who keeps the law. All right. And so God gives us these amazing promises if we'll follow his word and not culture. All right. And so you're going to see things and you're going to hear things and the Holy Spirit is going to whisper in your ear. It's culture. It's culture. It's the world culture. Be careful. And it's almost like a red light goes off on your dashboard. And right there, you've got to make the decision. Just like Daniel. Daniel made up his mind. You go and have a look at Daniel's life. He was blessed. He went through troubles, went through hardships, but God's blessing was upon him. So much so that at the end of his life, sure, God sends an angel to him. An angel. Just to commend him. That's it. And the angel comes and says to him, Daniel, Daniel, a greatly beloved by God. Because Daniel made up his mind. Come, let's stand. I want to pray for us. Father, thank you for the example in Scripture. And thank you, Lord, that your word says in Colossians chapter 1 that even though the enemy is the ruler of this world, we are no longer under his authority. We don't have to do what everybody else is doing. And so help us, every single one of us, to make up our mind and to stick to Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.